You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, which now includes the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com. And today, for your daily dose of Pacers information, we'll look back at the Pacers' 101-83 win over the Bucks from Evansville on Wednesday night, and look ahead to, you know, what we can take from this game that may be applied to the regular season. You know, the Pacers came out really, you know, flying down the court and flowing in the first half. Scored 62 points, many in transition after stops, and aside from a brief stretch in the first quarter where the Bucks seemed to have their way and their length was just a little bit overwhelming, the Pacers were able to adjust and get their running game going and flip that momentum on the Bucks in a hurry, and finished the half up 31 points after a 49-12 run in the half. It was, you know, nothing, one of those times when nothing could go wrong, and the Pacers really put on a good show for their fans down in Evansville. You know, the second half didn't go nearly as well for the Pacers. They came out and gave up eight quick points, and then from there, you know, they were minus 13 and a half, but there were plenty of good plays and a lot of guys who stepped up and filled in, with Paul George sitting out to, you know, end up cruising to that 101-83 win. Looking over, you know, some of the numbers in the first half, again, when everything was fantastic, Pacers only had 5 turnovers and 10 fouls, so that was a big highlight. After, you know, the talk of the defensive effort lacking over the past couple games, they did end up finishing the game with only 10 turnovers, which is great. But they did end up with 23 fouls, so you know, the foul issues weren't horrific, but still not great. The Bucks ended up shooting 31 free throws compared to 24 for the Pacers. So that's still an issue that, you know, or a negative mark on the Pacers when you're looking at the numbers and things they need to balance out to put in their favor. Glenn Robinson III started for PG, and, you know, seems like every time we see him, he's more comfortable out there. And he's just real active on both ends and taking advantage of his opportunity without a doubt. He finished with 11 points and 3 rebounds in 27 minutes. But he made all 3 three-point shots he put up, and they were in a good flow within the offense, a couple kickouts. And also, speaking of fouls, he only committed 1 foul, so... and he was dealing with some, some dynamic players out there, with Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker. Again, a good showing for Glenn Robinson. And, you know, obviously that type of play is going to keep him in the mix for minutes. CJ Miles, again, didn't play, still resting on that sore knee. And I would say that, that those minutes on the wing, those reserve minutes behind Paul George, and possibly if they try to go small at power forward, will definitely be in play for both those guys. And, you know, it may end up with, get CJ a shot. If his shot isn't falling, then Robinson will be there. Another guy who continued to look really sharp, and you kind of hope maybe they can put them in bubble wrap and save some of this goodness for that regular season was Rodney Stuckey. He, you know, first half had 12 points and 5 assists and just was on the attack, just playing great. A lot of bounce in his game, especially if you think about last year how he struggled quite a bit dealing with those foot injuries. He finished the game with 21 points, made all 4 of his threes. And after the game, he was interviewed by Quinn Buckner and just mentioned how, you know, it's almost as easy as the fact that he's healthy and really feels great. And then you combine that with the attacking style of play that McMillan wants him to engage in. And, I mean, he's ready to roll and real positive about everything that's going on, and you can see it in his play. So he definitely is securing that spot in the rotation, without a doubt. So as we move on here, looking at some other players, Jeff Teague had a another solid outing. He made a couple of threes, but really he was at his best when he was breaking down the defense, getting into the lane. He finished with 15 points, and a couple times saw him burst to the hoop, and it kind of brought back nightmares of what when he was doing that to the Pacers while he was playing with the Hawks. So it was nice to see that. One time he got in all the way to the rim, the other time he got in, broke down D and was able to kick it out. So that type of playmaking in the lane is good to see from Teague. He also had a little dust up. Antetokounmpo, who is so long at 6'11" that he looks like he's 7'6", especially when he's out running the floor. And he had just completed a play in transition where he flushed a left-hand dunk that, after he takes his, picks up his dribble, it's almost too late. So he had gotten free in transition again, and Teague was back, and Teague just, hit him pretty hard to prevent another flush, and he did, avoid going after his head or anything, and it was a good old-fashioned foul if we were in the early 90s, but it was ruled a flagrant, which is fair, but also preseason, Teague wasn't having any of it, so kind of nice to see a little feistiness out of the point guard there. So, again, Paul George is out due to the illness, and while it'd be good to have him in there, if you're looking for a silver lining of him not being able to continue trying to build that on-court chemistry, it is the fact that other players, not only get an opportunity, like Robinson, to fill in those minutes, but, everyone else kind of has to fill the void of not having PG out there and do a little bit more on the court and in a preseason environment when you're trying to develop guys and get them really ready to play big for you. That's a benefit. So let me take a minute real quick to once again thank the Locked On Podcast Network for all their support, and also, thank all the listeners, of course. podcast is doing really well, getting started, and we appreciate everybody tuning in and also offering your feedback. I want to make sure everyone is hitting other spots on the Locked On Network. I guarantee you you'll enjoy hearing the other side of what's going on from this game with Locked On Bucks. Frank Mann from Brew Hope does a great job running that show. And, of course, Locked On NBA, and other team shows are definitely worth a listen. So check them out. Okay, so, you know, what might we pull from this game that has relevance for the regular season? It seems like initially you can see a playing rotation shaping up here, or at least McMillan's first, you know, his primary playing rotation as he sees it right now. If you look through how the minutes were given out, essentially he went with a 10-man rotation. It may seem odd, but one guy that is an indicator of that was the fact that Julian Stone played some minutes early in the first half, and then again later in the second half. He's a guy that's been earmarked for going to Fort Wayne, which is still likely the case, but with both Paul and CJ out, Glenn Robinson III, you know, started in Paul's place. If Paul was starting, he would have been in that reserve role, wing role off the bench, but he wasn't. CJ wasn't there, so Julian Stone gets called in, and he's kind of filling that gap. One thing McMillan has been doing, you know, smartly here in the preseason is keeping his healthy guys playing the roles he sees them playing during the regular season. For instance, Al Jefferson is going to be the reserve center, so even when Miles Turner's out, he's not sliding Al Jefferson up to start. You know, he was starting Kevin Serafin, so it's kind of filling that gap, but trying to keep things as normal as possible. So if you look at it that way, you can see that his 9-man or 10-man rotation, based on that, was evident tonight. You know, with Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, Monte, Ellis, and Teague starting, I think PG's spot in the starting lineup also pretty secure. So, so then you had, you know, Al Jefferson, Rodney Stuckey, Aaron Brooks, and then Julian Stone playing the role of reserve wing. So that's your 9, kind of that he mentioned, you know, during preseason. He also played LaVoy Allen, a regular reserve role. And he had mentioned that Allen had to earn any minutes he was going to get and show him he was capable of playing. And he's done pretty well in the preseason. Every year I think I say this about LaVoy, if he could hit that, you know, mid-range shot or have some, you know, offensive impact because he is able to go get the ball, he would be really valuable. Well, tonight he made 4 of 6 shots, you know, finished with 12 points and 11 rebounds. So he had a great showing with that opportunity tonight. And definitely it seems as though he has kept his head above what Kevin Serafin might be as far as the pecking order of that, you know, third reserve or emergency reserve big man. So, you know, and it also, even though McMillan has said he prefers a 9-man rotation, you know, it may be a case where he's going to play, be more likely to play 10 guys over the first month or two of the season as they get into it before paring that rotation down eventually. So, you know, that would most likely be a spot where they might add a guy with LaVoy or another big guy. Also because, you know, Jefferson is good. If he's having his way offensively with a guy, you're going to play him. But if he's not, you know, depending upon the matchup, you know, his defense isn't going to keep him on the floor. So That might be where you would flip in Lavoie just to help defend a reserve big. So, but right now, that appears to be the rotation that McMillan is leaning toward. He did play over the last 4 minutes of the game. Joe Young, the rookie George Niang, Poitras, and Christmas, they got some burn to finish things out. And I would think of those guys, again, Joe Young and Niang, would be kind of the guys filling in the gaps in the rotation whenever necessary. A guy gets dinged up or someone's sick or someone, has foul trouble, whatever the case. Those are the guys that are going to have to come every night, expecting to play, and a lot of nights probably won't play. But that's part of being a pro and a young guy trying to earn your way. In a lot of cases, Glenn Robinson III may end up being that way too, if CJ comes back and is shooting lights out and assumes a role in the rotation. Basically, you got to come to the gym expecting to play and not worry about what you can't control. And if your number's called, go out and produce. And it seems pretty simple in a no-nonsense way that McMillan runs things and has it set up right now. So two more preseason games, including their next game down in Orlando on Friday, where they'll say hello to Frank Vogel, that'll be an interesting game. But we'll see if these are the same guys playing the same roles. Hopefully, Paul George will be in that mix, so we'll get even a clearer sense. But it may be a case where he might try another rotation out here and use another 10 guys. Obviously, probably 8 of them would be the same, but he might filter in a couple other guys and see how they do with the opportunity. If not, then we'll know he's really set on this group. But that's something that we can look forward to on Friday. And then expect to see when the season is about to tip off on October 26th, coming fast. So game like today is exciting and fun and really gets you fired up for the regular season when you can see how explosive this team can be when things are rolling. We'll keep tabs on that, obviously, as the preseason winds down here, bring you all the information in between with practices and, of course, the games. So make sure you stay tuned to Locked On Pacers, and we'll bring you all of the info for sure. So that about wraps up the show. Make sure, again, thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the playing rotation, what you thought from the guys who played today, and who you wish, if there's any players you think maybe should get a bigger look in the rotation, and how you think things are going in general. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. So that's a wrap. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.